Amen. If you have the Word of God, please take the Bible. Let's turn to Matthew chapter number 13. As I was speaking earlier and contemplating what the Lord would have me to preach on, I thought about the importance of the local church. And with the help of the Lord today, I just want to touch on some things. Some things you may have heard, but I hope the Spirit of God just drives some things deep down in our heart about what God does in a gospel preaching church. This is a place where lives are literally changed. We get all in awe about these makeover programs that you see and things of that nature. But let me tell you, anybody can put some paint on and do a hairdo and whiten their teeth and all this stuff. And I'm going to tell you something. When God changes a person's heart, that's a miracle. Amen. When God does something. And God does this in and through the church. Now, let me say before I get started here, and I do hope I get a little wound up this morning. But if I do, God will do it. I'm not up here to put on a show for you. I do not put the emphasis on the church as some theological systems do. It's not the church per se. It's who the church lifts up. It's the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, before I get into that, I just want to let you know that I fully understand that doctrinally. But I don't understand why some folks don't understand that the church, the assembling of together, is something very dear to the heart of God. Something very dear. And in Matthew chapter 13, in verse number 45, the Bible says, and if you would notice, and I'm not trying to be cute saying this, this is red letter. That means Jesus is speaking here. Verse 45, and he says, and again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who when he hath found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. Now, the Lord Jesus is giving a parable here, but he's talking about what he did on the cross of Calvary. That he suffered and died. He'd entered into a place that no man could enter in and come out like he did and face the wrath of God, because the billows of God's wrath that you and I deserve were on him that day. He paid our sin debt in full. He sold all he had. In other words, he was co-equal, co-existent, co-eternal with God the Father. But he put aside all of that to come down and take on a robe of flesh to die for you and I. Now that might not be something that is interesting to somebody from Harvard or somewhere else. But I'm here to tell you something. People are going to die in their education and their wisdom without that blood that was shed at Calvary. So they can take their college degrees. They can take their billions. They can take their power. But it is all going to perish one of these days. Now let me just say, I'm not against people doing all they can in life. And I think it was Charles Wesley, make all you can and count all you make and give it. I think that's what he said. Something of that nature. And I'm not against folks getting college degrees. I've trying to aspire to get another one myself. It's a slow going thing, but even the snail made it to the ark. Praise the Lord. You know, it's just slow going, you know. But all of that, what I'm saying is our world's got everything backwards. It's got everything backwards. And even good parents have things backwards. My dad put a great emphasis on son, just get a good education. Get a good education. That's what you need. And he was a good man, but I'm here to tell you that a good education does not give value to your life. It is God alone that gives value to your life. God alone. And Jesus Christ, he forsook all and entered into the humanity through the bloodstream, being born of a woman. And He died on Calvary's cross, and His holy blood was shed there for you and I. He paid a price for His church. And I understand the church is made of wood, and we have carpet and sheetrock and paint and stone and all this kind of a thing. But the church is a ecclesia. In the Greek, it's made up of two words, and the first word is ek, which means out, and the other one is kleion or kleio, which means called. And we're the called out ones. We're the called out ones from the world. That means we should be different from the world. And that's not the point of the sermon today, but we are a called out assembly. This is what it means. It means to assemble. And this is what a church is supposed to do. And this is this word ecclesia is mentioned over 100 times in the New Testament. And there's some Hebrew derivatives of this word that are mentioned at least no less than 123 times in the Scripture. Now, something mentioned that much must be at the heart of God. And let's go to Matthew chapter 16 while we're here, and let's look at something here. In Matthew chapter 16, this is something that mankind does not get. And I hope you underscore this morning, because when you invite somebody to church and they say, I don't believe in man-made religion. I don't believe in organized religion. But let me tell you something. If you study the Bible, you will understand one thing and one thing clearly. The church is not man-made. It was born in the heart of the true and living God. It is not a man-made thing. And I thank God for what God has done in my heart and my life through the local New Testament church by the preaching of His Word. I'm here to tell you, I love my life. I thank God what He's changed me. And I'm not perfect, but I'm glad I'm not what I was. I'm glad I'm not what I used to be. Just thank God for that. What He has done in my life through His Word that is taught and preached in the local New Testament church. And I've learned one thing, and one thing for sure. If I'm going to reach my zenith, if I'm going to reach my heights in this life, it's not going to be done by what I do, by what I allow God to do in me through His Word, through His preaching of His Word. And that's what this younger generation needs to understand. We're living in a very educated society, but we have a bunch of educated morons. When light is dark and dark is light, Lord have mercy. Matthew 16, verse 17, and Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood have not revealed it unto thee, but my, who's this? Father, which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build, what's this? My church. Personal pronoun, my. It means we belong to somebody. My. If I go to my house, that's my property. Well, it's the bank's, but it's my house. I said, pointing to my kids, that's my children. That means it's possessive. It is bought. We have been bought with a price, the price of what Jesus Christ paid at Calvary. And let me tell you something, beloved. It was more than just His blood. It was more than just His physical suffering. If you read Isaiah 55 and 56, you will understand that God looked upon the travail of His soul. And we have come to learn at this church that the soul has three parts: intellect, emotion, and will. And our Lord Jesus Christ was willing to spend eternity in hell for you and I because of our sin. And people say, well, I don't think Jesus would have went to hell for me. Well, listen, the next time a preacher says He suffered, He paid my sin debt of my death, hell, and my grave, don't say amen because you disagree with it. Let me tell you something. He was willing to be separated from God the Father. That is the ultimate price. I don't just deserve death and to stay there. I deserve hell. And somebody had to be willing to pay that price too. And He did it. We talk about how hard the cross was, but I'm going to tell you something. There was something greater going on there than the eye could meet. It was the travail of his soul. Matter of fact, while we're on that, let's go to Isaiah. I want to show you. Because I've known people to get beat up and bleed for something that they believe in. But they never paid the price. You understand what I'm saying? They didn't pay my sin debt. Because there was only one that was qualified to do that. And you want to talk about so deep a love, beloved. Think about that. I want you to go to Isaiah 53 and look at verse number 11 with me. Well, let's go back to verse 10. Well, let's go back to verse 9. I better stop there. I'll go back to verse 1. And he made, get this, and he made his grave with the, what? Wicked, and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his, what is this? Soul. You get that? Soul. And what? What's the next word here? Offering. It was not only the physical pain and the abuse that the Lord Jesus Christ took. Do you understand? He went all in. He went all in to do whatever he had to do to purchase you and to purchase me. We are his church. We are his bride. We are his building, the Bible teaches. And let me tell you something. It ought to be an honor for each and every one of us, and it is, honor for each and every one of us to consider ourselves a part of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is easy to get into because he paid it all. But just because it's easy, beloved, we shouldn't take it for granted. We shouldn't take it for granted. We have churches today. People act like, oh, that's just old church. I'll go there when I get ready, or I go there when I die. Let me tell you something. If that's how people look at church, let me tell you, you're not going to get the most out of this life, because it's only through God where you can maximize everything you are and have in this life. Only through him. And this Jesus paid. Look, he paid the travail of his soul, and shall be satisfied by the knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. It wasn't just on him. God's wrath went down into his heart. Jesus Christ sweat great drops of blood to be willing to be separated from all eternity for God the Father. But he trusted by faith that God was going to raise him up on the third day, and that's exactly what he did. Amen. I know I may be blowing your minds theologically, but you study the Bible. I've been at it 20 years, and this is one thing I do know. Christ was willing to pay it all, and he did. He did. There's a lot of people that have bled and died and got bruised up and stuck and poked and shot and for a lot of things they believed in. Look at our war heroes. But very few, or any, I should say, not any, are willing to be separated from God for all eternity. You think about a price that was so great to be paid at Calvary. He paid my sin debt. He suffered my death. He suffered my grave, and he suffered my hell, all for me. He purchased me with his blood. And God saw the travail of his soul. You think about that. I'm going to tell you, it is such a privilege and a blessing to be a part of a Bible-believing church, to be blood-bought, and to understand that this thing called the local New Testament church is not a man-made thing. It's not a man-made thing. Jesus Christ clearly said in Matthew 16, upon this rock. What is he talking about? He's not talking about Peter. He's talking about what Peter was revealed to Peter. And what was revealed to Peter was the fact that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Or may I say, God in flesh came down, Emmanuel, dwelt among us. And he died on Calvary's cross for our sin debt. And he said, upon this rock I will build. And on the fact that I am God in the flesh, and on the fact that I am I am the Son of God. On that fact, on this fact, Peter, that was revealed to you by the Father, because human mind, it couldn't be human origin, it couldn't be thought up by man, because it's not a thought that started with man, it's something that was born in the heart of God, the local New Testament church. Listen, if you start looking at church like that, how can you neglect it? How can you say you love the Savior and neglect the assembling together and say, I love Jesus Christ? Yeah, you know, we went out of town last week, and I love animals. Most of you know me. I love animals. And my mom, Lord bless her, some stray cat showed up. And I tried to shoo that cat off. Not that I dislike cats. Mom can't hardly take care of herself, much less a cat. But, and she said, I don't want a cat. It went from, I don't want this cat, very adamant, I do not want this cat, to where she's usually watching me drive up the road waving. I go back and peek around the door. I get in the vehicle to leave, and I go back around. I notice she's not there in the door like she usually is. You know what she's doing? She's watching that cat. She's watching that cat. Yesterday, we come home, and we had to, the other day we came home, had to go pick up my son's Labrador. And I'm going to tell you something. I think that dog went through withdrawals. And I let that dog in the front seat, sat down and petted that dog all the way home, trying to calm. And don't get me wrong, I love animals. I'm just trying to tell you, I love animals. But I don't love them that much to get hair all over the place. I mean, it was bad. But why did I love that animal? I love that animal because my child loves that animal. And if you love Jesus, you'll love His church, is what I'm trying to tell you. You'll love it. You don't want to hurt it. You do what's best for it. You put your life influence into it. Pour all you are and have and God has given you into that local assembly, because that's where God has put you. And you understand this. I want you to understand. Let's go to 1 Peter chapter number 1. I want you to show you something. You know, we make a big to-do, and we should. And I want to say this again. We should make a big to-do about the shedding of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, because without it, there is no remission of sins. Not at all. None. None. But I'm going to tell you something. Note, I want you to get the power behind this thing, of what the importance of the local New Testament church. Notice here. We'll start here in verse number 1. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through the sanctification of the Spirit and obedience of the sprinkling of the what? Blood. Now Peter's writing to the church in these areas. This is one epistle written to the church in these areas. That's the reason why he gave you the geographical locations here. Okay? But he's noticing this. Notice one of the points. Through the sprinkling of the blood, grace unto you and peace be what? Now you think about all the grace that God has, he wants to give to you. All the grace that God has, the knowledge that He has, the love that He has. He's demonstrated all that at Calvary, but in here, Peter said he wants to be multiplied. I want you to look at this tree right here. I want to use this as an illustration, because this is what I use in my house as an illustration sometimes at Christmas, because we do not worship the tree. Put that out there. What is this called? I'll help you. An ornament. Okay? You see, when I got saved, I was saved because the tree. God, Jesus Christ, hung on a tree. Now, the best way I can illustrate grace to you this morning is this. Because of God's grace, I have eternal life. Okay? You have eternal life. But you know what grace is? Grace is when God begins to take ornaments, the blessings of life, and hang them on you. Say, I love you. Oh, let me give you another one. I'm going to give you this right here. You'll love this. Let me put this on your life right there. Oh, I can't get this on there. And as you see, God just starts doing this. And all these things that these blessings we have in God, in our life, whether we realize it or not, it's because of God's grace. Do you understand that? Let me ask you this. How many ornaments do you have on your tree today, spiritually speaking? If we are in obedience to God, following God, the Bible says that, what does he say? We should be what? Multiplied, right? Grace unto you, peace, be what? Multiplied. You see, that's what God wants to do for his people. Amen. And we're a lot of bare tree Christian people. You know why? Mainly because we're neglecting the church. And if we're not neglecting the church, it's the fact that we're not adhering to true Bible teaching that is supposed to be going on in that church. And that's why I'm thankful for a Bible preaching, sound doctrine, on fire for God, preaching church. Because I know that God will bless individuals that come there. You see, we're not in the entertainment industry. We can't keep up with L.A. and Hollywood. Churches try to do that, and they're beginning more and more bizarre, more and more extravagant. I would rather have the power of God's Spirit moving in the local congregation any day than be putting on some theatrics that God can and never will bless, because it's all man-centered. You see, what the preacher should do is to teach people how to get ornaments of God's grace on their life. Amen. You see why? Because Jesus Christ purchased you with his blood, and he wants these things for you. But what we have here is a contradiction of ideologies. And so people say, well, I don't need church. I don't need this. I don't need to be that faithful. I don't need to be that involved. Let me tell you something. What you're neglecting is something that Christ purchased with his own shed blood. And I want you to look here in verse number 2 and get a hold of this one principle. He says, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and the sprinkling of his what? Blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Do you realize the church could not come forth? This is how important it is. The church could not come forth until his blood was shed. And to neglect something that important, to bash something that important, to not want to be a part of something that important. I don't get that. I'm thankful for the local New Testament Bible preaching church. When I was back home, I went to a church I attended when I left. They had a Thanksgiving dinner immediately after, and they ask everyone to stay, and I thought, you know, I'm not going to stay. I don't even know those people there anymore. I know some of them because I saw them around and back in my parents back in high school. But outside of that, I didn't know anybody there. And the pastor said, I'm going to give testimony. Let people give testimony. And it's kind of funny because everybody walked up to me, act like I'm a total stranger, and I don't know the building layout or anything about it. And as I began to give them my testimony, I said, if you go back in the mid-90s, I said, I'm thankful for the people who stood true to God when this church did not have a pastor. And they went looking for a pastor for years, that you can assemble here today and have this sweet fellowship. And I said, right back here was the first place I ever taught the Word of God in my life. And I had tears streaming down my face. And I said, and this pulpit right out here was the first place I ever taught the Word of God. Now, I'm going back almost 20 years and looking back over my life and thinking, you know what? That's a precious memory. That's a that to me, that's hallowed ground. That's a place where God began to do something in my life to really change my life. And it wasn't in a deer stand. It wasn't in a golf on a golf course. It wasn't in the mountains. It wasn't out at the sea. It was in the local New Testament church where God did something in my life. Because somebody took the Bible and taught it and they preached it. You said, well, Pastor, we got the internet today. We don't have to go to church and we can get it on the computer. I won't blow my top on that one. But I just want to challenge you something. Leave your family, move to China, and commune with them about once a day for 15 minutes and see how long that relationship's going to last. God called us a called out ones to assemble. For a reason. Because there's spiritual health in this. You ought to stand up here sometime and watch you. Brother Ron comes and he starts to call you back into assembly to sing. I said, no, just let him go. Let him go. You ought to see the love that goes on out there. Some of you experience it. Where you going? Can you get that over a computer? Can you get that over a radio? I thank God for the city minister, but you lose something when you're not here to experience it. And I love this idea. And I'm being sarcastic. I really don't love it at all. Matter of fact, I think it stinks. If I may just be honest with you. We got people today saying, you know, I can go to this church and I can go to that church and I can come back to this church on the third Sunday and I'll go to this one on the second. I want to give you a thought about that. And people say, I love God. At least I'm in church. At least I'm going somewhere. Use this analogy here to really think about this. That's like somebody being very patriotic and saying, you know what, I love America. Today I'm going to go to the Marine Corps and I'm going to serve in the Marine Corps. And once I try that out a little bit, I'm going to jump over here a couple months later. Then I'm going to go to the United States Navy. Then I'm going to go to the Air Force. Then I'm going to go to the Army. And soon, if everybody wanted to do that, do you think we'll have a strong, powerful military? No. Because everybody has to be in their assigned place. For that unit, for the aircraft carrier, for the infantry, for the battalions to work, the tank infantry, the tank regiments, all these things, for them to work, they have to be in their assigned place every day, every time, without fail, no exceptions. And you see, when we have Christians that have that mentality, no wonder we have a weak church today. No wonder God's not moving like He wants to in the church. No wonder we don't have ornaments of grace in our life like we prayed for and God wants to give us because we're doing our thing instead of what God wants us to do. I'm thankful. There are Christians who understand what Paul is putting out in 1 Corinthians chapter number 12, where he simply says in verse 18, but now hath God set the members. Everyone means what? Everyone. You see, if I wanted to go be in the Air Force today and the next week I wanted to go and join the Marines and fight for them a day or two, then go back to the Air Force, sooner or later, General, somebody's going to say, buddy, you're out of your mind. How do you think we're going to win? How do you think we're going to win? I expect you to be over there to fly to man that gun. I turned around. Somebody said you was flying in a C-130 in the Air Force. I don't get. Well, I'm serving our country, General. You know, you just got to deal with. No, I understand. If we're going to be a winner, everybody's got to be in their assigned place. Everybody. I'm thankful to God that there were people who stood in that church that didn't have a pastor. They understood that God put them there. And the doors are still open today because they said, you know what? God put me here. Amen. And I'm going to stay right here. You see, this cowboy Christianity, excuse the bad English, ain't going to get it done. It ain't going to get it done. Well, I went to church last Sunday. I believe I'll take it easy today. I went this morning. Ain't that good enough, Jesus? Yeah. Notice what it says here. But now hath God set. Who puts people in a church? I don't make the decision. Who does the decision making? God does that. Now God has set the members, every one. Did it say everyone? Every one of them in the body, get this, as it hath what? Pleased Him. Pleased Him. You see, when we stop saying, you know what? I don't want to please myself. I want to please God. We'll start getting a lot more ornaments of grace in our life. Amen? A lot more ornaments of grace. And not only attending the church, but really obeying God with what is being taught and preached. You see, when you come to God or to church with preconceived ideas about what you think about the church or about what I think about the Bible, there's always going to be conflicting ideology. It simply means this. Either you're going to maintain what you think, and God's going to maintain His position on what He thinks. And there's never any resolving a conflict. You're just pacifying the situation. You see, we can't come to God with any preconceived ideas about the church, preconceived ideas about what salvation is, preconceived ideas about what the doctrines of the Word of God teach. We must simply come and say, God, what do you say on this matter? And let God be God. And let, as a result, God bless your life for it. You see, there's a lot of folks that in church and out of church, we have preconceived ideas. I hope today by God's Spirit, God has challenged some of your preconceived ideas. Some today have thought, you know what? You got your afternoon planned already. You have a preconceived idea. God says, forsake not forsake the assembling of yourselves together. And until you reconcile what God says, until you reconcile what God says, you said no to God, that means God is not going to work in your life. Amen. You see, when we have these preconceived ideas about what we're going to do, our attitude about it, here's what I think, we've just told God to stop blessing me in my life. That's what we said. And we wonder why the world isn't attracted to our blessed Jesus. Folks, just let God be God. Thank God for His Word. Thank God for the church He has prescribed to you. Thank God for His grace. Thank God for the fellowship. Thank God that He loved us enough and says, I'm going to give you something. I'm going to give you a blessing. It's called the local church. And we treat it sometimes like it's some old hat. I can go there anytime I want. And perhaps you can. But I come back to God wanting to multiply peace and grace in your life and my life. Listen, don't have a poor attitude of a church. I was talking to one of my relatives one time, and I said, "Buddy, why aren't you in church?" He said, "Look," he said, "man, I've lost a lot of respect for church people and ministers and everything else." And I said, "Join the crowd." I'm like, you know how many times I've had a knife right there by church people and ministers? Did I say and ministers? They didn't die on that cross for me. They did not die on that cross for me. He died for me.
Amen.
We do what we do for Him.
Amen.
I don't, and I love y'all. Y'all know that. I don't get up here and preach for you. It's because He called me. Me? Called me. Saved me. I love His church. I love being around God's people. What a family. What a family. And to neglect it. You see, preconceived ideas. Folks won't go to church. Oh, it's man-made religion. I can't join that church. A pastor offended me. I can't go here. I remember a deacon did something to me one time. Told me I couldn't park there. Whatever. Get over it. We've all been hurt by people. But Jesus has been good to me. He's been good to me. Matter of fact, He's been great. Been great. Do you realize that Brother Ron's blood bought? I got to love this man whether I want to or not. And I do love him. You're blood bought. I love you. And by the way, I'm blood bought too. You got to love me whether you don't want to or not. Where are you going to get that on this planet? You won't get it anywhere but in God's church. Let's pray. Father, help us to understand the value that You bring to our life through the local New Testament church. Lord, help us to see how much You love us. This is not a man-made thing. Lord, help us to get a hold of this, to love You, to obey You, that You may hang these ornaments of grace in our lives. Father, some that didn't have children and have children as an ornament of grace. There's some of that are alive here today. They're walking, they're breathing. That's because of Your grace. Father, there's many in here today who are not ever, ever going to have one flame of hell ever touch their soul, because they put their faith in Your Son. Father, we thank You for Your grace. We thank You for what the person that the church has been commanded to preach, the name of Jesus Christ. Father, there's one here today that does not know Christ as their personal Savior. I pray today they get saved. Lord, help us today to be more thankful and appreciative for My church. And Lord, if there's some here praying about whether or not to become a member today, Lord, I pray, God, You bring them forward. Move them forward in their walk with Thee. Lord, we can't suit up our lives, get it all tidy with plans and degrees and agendas, think we're going to be blessed. Lord, help us to see it is You and You alone who bless our lives. And we'll praise You for it in Jesus' name.